2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, this is the reading of God's word. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh, Father, grant us an ear to hear your word. Let us understand. Let us believe. And let us obey. And Father, we thank you for your word telling us what your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done and accomplished for us. Let us meet your Son through your word, and let us see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of our eternal home that Jesus has accomplished for us. And let us be glad. Let us be happy and give you all the glory and honor. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our catechism, Shorter Catechism, states that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. Chief end of man, what is our purpose? The primary purpose of man is glory of God. And using that catechism question, we might ask, what is chief end of God? What is the primary purpose of God? And the answer will be to glorify himself. It is all about God's glory. And the Bible clearly states that the purpose in whatever that God is doing is to bring glory to himself. Why did he make us? Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." He's talking about man that he created. But he said that he created man for his own glory. This is the purpose of all things. You and I, we live for that glory, and our life is about reflecting that glory and also praising that glory. In Ephesians, we saw this together when we studied Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. In chapter 1, we learn about what the Father has done and what the Son has done and what the Holy Spirit has done for us. And after telling us what the Father has done, and he tells us why did he do that. Chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. And he continues to tell us what the Son has done and why did he do that. Verse 12, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. And he tells us what the Holy Spirit has done. And verse 14 says, who is given as a pledge to our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. This is purpose of everything. All creation exists for His glory. It is to see His glory. It is to acknowledge His glory. It is to reflect His glory. And it is to praise His glory. This is the purpose of the redemptive history of God. Isaiah 66, verse 18. Isaiah 66, verse 18 says, "For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues." It's talking about the Messianic kingdom. And when that happens, God will go and gather all of His people. And He says, "And they shall come and see my glory." Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. It's also talking about the Messianic kingdom, and this is how it is described. "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." The whole earth will be covered with the knowledge of the glory of our God. And this is what we desire. We want everyone to see this glory. We want everyone to know this glory. Psalm 57. Psalm 57, verse 5. "Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth." This is our desire. Go to Psalm 145. Let me read to you from verse 10. "All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom." This is why we exist. We want to praise His glory and we want to tell of His glory. And the verse that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. In that verse, Paul speaks that reality, that same reality that we've been talking about now. As you already know, what Paul is doing in our chapter is comparing and contrasting the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And he also compares and contrasts the glory of the Old Covenant and the glory of the New Covenant. Now, the glory of the Old Covenant was witnessed in the shining face of Moses. It was glorious, but it was typological, it was partial, and it was fading glory. It was covered glory. And the person who was able to witness that glory was Moses. Just one person, Moses. But the new covenant and the glory of the new covenant that Jesus Christ is accomplishing is the glory of Jesus Himself. And everyone who is a member of that covenant possesses that glory and is able to reflect that glory. It's not just one person like in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, Moses, but everyone who belongs to this covenant, the New Covenant, we all shine the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at our verse. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. It is truly an amazing verse. And I want you to understand this verse. We're going to go word by word, sentence by sentence, so that you may understand what Paul is telling us. First, it says, being transformed, we are being transformed into the same image. Now, the image there is the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, first of all, what we need to understand is that we are being transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is very important. This is the purpose of what God is doing. He's making us like Christ. And that is the purpose of the redemption of God. It is to become like Christ. Now, we're not becoming God. You know, if you say that, then we're heretical. No, we're still creatures, and we'll never be God. But we will be like Christ. This is what the Bible clearly teaches us. Now, let's look at a few verses, because this is the purpose of our salvation. Why are we saved? So that we may be like Jesus Christ. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, this verse is misused so many different times, so many different ways. You know, he says that we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of us. So that so many people say, yeah, everything happens so that it will be good for us at the end. And when they say good, what are they talking about? It's earthly good. You know, you will be a rich or yours. Business will succeed, you know, these kind of stuff. But that is not what he's saying. What does he mean by good of us? If you look at the context, and all that, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called, and these whom He called, He also justified, and these whom He justified, He also glorified. So in the beginning, He chooses His people, and He does all these things, calling and all that, and finally He glorifies them so that they may be like Christ, who is already glorified. So everything works together for the good of us, is referring to everything works together so that we may be like Christ. That's what it's saying. So that's the very first thing. Our verse says we are being transformed into the same image of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1. Yeah, we have to look up every passage because, in Korean I don't write. In English I use type the whole passage. So usually you don't have to look up, but you understand what's going on today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. You know, God has given us all of these heavenly blessings. What's the purpose? So that you may become partakers of the divine nature. You will be like God. Well, 1 John chapter 2. No, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, when Jesus comes back, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. So Paul, in our verse, is not saying something brand new. This saying is all over the Bible. We are being transformed into the same image of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the very first creation, when you read in Genesis, God created us in the image of God. Now in the New Testament, it tells us that God recreates us, he saves us, recreates us in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of our salvation. We are transformed into the same image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the next question is then, how can we transform into the same image of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is that through our effort? Is that through our power and our ability? Is that through our works? Now, God tells us, you are being transformed into the same image of Jesus. And does he tell us, work hard at it so that you may transform? No. Very last part of that verse that we're reading. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. ESV has, and I quickly this morning I copy, you know, couple things here. ESV for this verse at the end says, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So all this being transforming you into the image of Christ, well, this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. But King James has it, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's really different. One translation says it comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The other translation has, it comes from the Spirit of the Lord, which refers to Holy Spirit. But you and I, we already have seen this. When it comes to redemptive work that God performs, but God does, the work of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit is identified. Jesus always worked in spirit. They're never separate when it comes to this redemptive work. So, it is from the Lord and it is from the Spirit. It really doesn't matter how we translate, because what's the point? It comes from God. God is the one who transforms you. We're not going to become like Christ by our effort or our works or whatever we do. And that's the first thing we need to understand. That it is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of God. It is the power of God, and it is the ability of God. And He, God, is even now working in us. And what is He doing? He's making us more and more like Christ. He's transforming us into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you, He will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." He who began that good work in you, He will finish. So this is our understanding, our belief, that God is actually transforming us into the same image of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's working even now to do that. Now, we saw already, and we're not trying to limit the work of the Holy Spirit, but Bible is very clear that whenever Holy Spirit works, He uses the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit's work, we even say, is to applying to the church what Christ has accomplished. He told us that He doesn't do anything in His own initiative, but He uses the Word of God. He applies the accomplishments that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for His people. And that He uses the Word, but what does that Word show us? It shows us Jesus Christ. But it also shows the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you see the glory today? Glory of God. You know, some people talk about glory of God in terms of, you know, like you going to Harvard. You know, just because you went to Harvard, somehow you show the glory of God. No. Even non-Christians go to Harvard. So I don't know why going to Harvard, glory, you know, bring out glory of God. I don't get that. But you are to do that even for God's glory. Whether you drink or eat, do it for the glory of God. We're not denying that everything that you do, you must do it for the glory of God. But don't say just because you went to Harvard now, you glorify more than the person who went to City College, for example. It doesn't hold. Where do you see the glory of God? How can you see the glory of Jesus Christ? You must come to the Word. The Bible shows it. So let's go back to our verse. We all are being transformed into the same image, but we all beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image. Now, beholding the glory of God. Now, this can be translated differently. Some translation has that word beholding as a reflecting. So the meaning is quite different. Glory of the Lord. One is saying we behold the glory of the Lord. The other one is saying we reflect the glory of the Lord. But I like this beholding. I like NAS translation. So, you know, until you come up here and teach, let's stick with what we have in NAS, beholding. And if we keep that, this is amazing. How are we being transformed into the image of the Lord? While we behold the glory of the Lord. So what do I need to do to become more like Christ? Well, behold the glory of the Lord. And what will show the glory of the Lord? The Word of God. You have to come to the Word to see the glory of the Lord. And as you see the glory of the Lord, you are being transformed into the image of the Lord. Yes, it's not by what you do. It's not by your own works. It's by beholding Jesus Christ. And how can we do that unless you come to the Word of God? You know, we come to the Word and we meet Jesus Christ. This is what we say, right? In the Word we meet Christ. In the Old Covenant, Moses, you know, he was transformed while he met God. It wasn't his effort or his work. No, all he was doing is meeting God, and he was looking at God's glory as he meets God, and he was being transformed. He was becoming a shining person. He was being glorified just by looking at God, just by meeting God. Do you understand what that event is showing to us? What is that event teaching us? And we too meet God in the Word. We see the glory of God in the Word. And as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the image of the Lord. Do you understand? No matter how hard you try, you will never be like Jesus Christ. I guarantee you. Unless God transforms you. And how does he do that? Well, the Holy Spirit. But what does Holy Spirit use to make you like that? The Word of God. As you behold the glory of the Lord. So our verse says, but we all, with unveiled face, because Moses, when he met God, his face was unveiled. That's why he could see the glory of God, and he was being transformed. His face was shining. He was actually changing. Just like it, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Now this is very, very important. Now, I'm not saying that all you have to do is just read the Bible all day and, you know, just that's all you do. No. There's a lot of things God calls you to do. But even as you do all that, without you beholding the glory of the Lord through the Word, everything you do, it's not going to help. This is the primary. You have to behold the glory of the Lord. And you're being transformed from glory to glory. Now this verse, this phrase, from glory to glory, this is not easy to understand. What is he saying? What, from one level of glory to another level of glory? Or from small glory to bigger glory? What is he saying? And this is what we need to understand. Well, obviously it is not saying that from Old Testament to New Testament. From Old Testament glory to New Testament glory, no. Because you and I, we don't belong to Old Testament. I shouldn't say it like that. We don't belong to the Old Covenant. So it's not talking about the glory of the Old Covenant to the glory of the New Covenant. Because we begin in the New Covenant glory. We had nothing to do with the old covenant glory. Then what does this mean? And, you know, if you study with me for a long time, you know how I interpret the Bible. I interpret the Bible in terms of redemptive history. And I don't have time to explain what that means to you right now. If you want to know what that means, then talk to me later. We get the hint from that phrase that we skipped. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. As in a mirror. Now, do you understand? Because what does a mirror do? It reflects. So that some people will translate, you know, we all, with unveiled face, reflect as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. This is how one might translate, but we're not going to use reflecting, we're going to use beholding. If you go to a dictionary, both are in it. When you find this word, it will say beholding, but it also say reflecting. So which way you go? Well, I like beholding because it makes much more sense to me. Why? Because this in a mirror, you are looking something. You're seeing in a mirror. What does this phrase really mean? Well, there's another place where Paul uses this kind of a similar phrase. Go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 12. The first part of it. It says, for now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. It's talking about now and later. Now we see like in a mirror, dimly, but then when Jesus returns, face to face. Well, then what does this phrase then? This is not exactly the same phrase in our passage, but the mirror is used. It's a similar. So if you understand that mirror, seeing in a mirror, meaning that it's dim, it's not clear, it's not brightly showing. So if we take that and bring it to our passage, from glory to glory, we could say that from dimmed glory to visible glory, or from glory right now and visible glory when Jesus returns. Veiled glory to unveiled glory. Let me explain. So we're gonna, and I know you're not gonna find this kind of interpretation that often out there, but let's look at it like this and learn from what this is saying. We're being transformed into the same image, so we're becoming like Christ. Now, here are two things you must remember. One, everything that Jesus accomplishes, he accomplishes in two stages. First, he accomplishes everything spiritually, meaning that it's not visible. Then he accomplishes, he consummates visibly. So your salvation is accomplished spiritually. But when Jesus returns, it will be visible, consummated visibly. And everything that God accomplishes is in that same pattern. Well, if you apply that to what we're looking at here, from glory to glory, glory is already accomplished. But it's not visible. Are we glorified? Yes. Spiritually, we are already glorified. But that glory that is accomplished already is not visible. So it's like seeing in a mirror, dimmed. But that same glory that is accomplished will be visible later. So we are taking this phrase from glory to glory. We are becoming like Christ, meaning that we're going to live the same way as Jesus did. Your life is a participation in the life of Christ. So your pattern of your life will be the same as the pattern of Jesus' life. And what was his pattern? Suffering and death in this world and glory in heaven. But see, that suffering, what Bible tells us is that even that suffering is glory. Go to John chapter 12. Now this is important. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 says, in verse 23, Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And he says in verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." Now, obviously, from verse 24, you could understand what he was talking about when he says, "It's time for me to be glorified." He's speaking of his cross. Cross is suffering and it's death. And you know, so many Christians say this, and I don't know if they truly understand what they're saying, but they say, cross is glorious. You probably heard it. The cross is glorious. And you go, what? How can the cross be glorious? It's suffering and it's death. But it is glorious. Understand? First Peter. One more verse will clarify a little bit more. First Peter. Chapter 4. Verse 13. to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Just like the cross is glorious, your suffering life is glorious. That spiritual glory that Jesus has accomplished, how is it expressed in this world as you live your life? It expresses in suffering for Jesus Christ. And when you suffer, remember, the Spirit of glory is with you. It's like every day you say the same thing to yourself, what Jesus has said. It's time for me to be glorified. And you go out and suffer for Christ. From glory to glory. This is our life. Because that is the pattern of Jesus' life. He suffered here, and visible glory in heaven. But another way of saying that is that here on earth, hidden glory, in heaven, visible glory. Covered glory here on earth, uncovered glory in heaven. Nevertheless, it's glory and it's glory. And this is the expression we find in the Bible. Jesus' suffering life is glorious life. So, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of our Lord Jesus Christ from glory to glory. That transforming has already begun. And that transforming will be completely consummated in heaven. From glory to glory. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Remember, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 says, there will be glory that will be revealed when Jesus comes. That does not mean that the glory is not accomplished yet. It's already accomplished. And we see that glory through the Word. Bible shows us glory that the world cannot see. The world will never see this glory that Bible is speaking of. They will look at that glory and they will hate it because they don't see glory according to their own understanding. Because it's suffering. It's death. They will never understand that as a glory. But Bible clearly teaches us that suffering for Christ is glorious. Second Corinthians, yes, we're looking at that. We'll go to chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, outer man is decaying. Do you see the glory in that? Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. See, you need faith to see this. Because this glory that is already accomplished, this glory that I already possess, is hidden. people don't see it. Because they only see the decaying outward body and just suffering. But our inner man is being renewed day by day, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. This suffering itself is doing what? It's producing for us an eternal weight of glory. Understand what Paul is saying. While we look at not the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You must see through your faith. You must see through the Word of God. Do you understand my life? If you want to describe my life, this is how you do it. From glory to glory. This is my life. From glory to glory, I am being transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how does this happen? As I behold the glory of the Lord, the Holy Spirit transforms me into the image of the Lord that I am beholding. You come to the Bible because this is how. It is amazing life, you guys. It's glorious life. Everything that happens in your life, and you know, sometimes I don't know how to explain it, but you must remember, everything that happens in your life, good or bad, is happening so that you may be like Christ. That is the work of God in your life. And God causes all things to happen for the good. And that good is that you become like Christ. Now then, if this is true then what is the application? What you must do? Well, you behold the beauty and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how can you do that? You come to the Bible. That's why there are so many passages like this. Fixing our eyes upon Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. It's about fixing your eyes upon Jesus and seeing His glory. And when you do see His glory and understand and believe, remember, you're being transformed. Just like Moses, you shine. But your shining is hidden temporarily from the world. But your shining is not hidden from us, Christians who believe. So even as I see you suffer for Christ, I will see the glory. And you are being transformed. Brothers and sisters, you know, there are people here who are older than me. Well, I only see one. And he knows probably more than what I know because, you know, you learn as you live. Relax in Jesus Christ. Everything is okay. No need to panic. No need to be frustrated. Yes, your life that day might be very difficult, hard to endure. And maybe many people around you will ridicule you, you're embarrassed or whatever. But trust God. You are being transformed from glory to glory. This is what your life is all about. And continue to fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ. Seriously, brothers and sisters, enjoy the beauty and the glory of our Lord. And relax. And be content. Be happy. Because we have every reason to be happy. Because we're being transformed into the image of our Lord. From glory to glory. I pray that you will see that. See that reality in your life. Even as you see yourself in a mirror, you will see that transformation. You will see the work of God in you. But I pray that not only you will see that work of God in you, that you will also see that work of God in your brothers and sisters. Encourage one another. You know, this world is out there just trying to discourage you left and right. It's everything that happens, if you see through the worldly view, it's discouraging. And, you know, you don't want to go on. And you might ask, well, what is it for? What's the purpose? And sometimes you're going to ask that, you know. Even when you're young, you will ask, why do I need to go to school? Why do I need to learn? What is all this? What is life? And it's not about making a good living in this world. It's not about being, you know, whatever in this world. It's not about buying a bigger house or buying a good car. It's about being transformed into the image of Christ. And that work is business as usual. You don't have to worry about that work because God is working and He will finish this work. And all you do is gaze upon the beauty and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every morning, every time you have, open your Bible and behold the glory of your God. And be happy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that your work, your purpose is to glorify yourself through us, your people. And Father, we thank you that you are working in us, transforming us into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you cause us to behold the beauty and the glory of our Lord. And as we gaze upon that glory, you transform us into the image of Christ from glory to glory. Oh, Father, it is so amazing that this is our life. This is what is happening in our lives every day, every second. And we thank you, God. And one day when we see you face to face, we will be like Christ, just as He is. We thank you, God. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.